Thank you.
We can then proceed to item number 13.
Okay.
The Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Plan. Dr. Hunter? Did you want to make...
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I will recuse myself on this item as I submitted a letter of commenting on the issue prior to my appointment.
Okay.
And I likewise will recuse myself based on a contract that I was working under earlier with NRDC on an unrelated matter. So I'm recusing myself based on
the appearance of bias. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Shallcross. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. Okay. That leaves us with the bare five that we need for this item. Mr. Briggs?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This is, I think, the third time that we've been before the board for this Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Plan. And seated at our front table, we have Dunaway, our stormwater program manager, Ryan Lodge, who is our staff person, who's been working on our stormwater management plans and commenting on them and looking to get them in an approvable form. And then Chris Adair is the supervisor overseeing our stormwater program. And this morning, Ryan Lodge will be making our staff presentation.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Ryan Lodge, Water Resource Control Engineer. I'm here today to present for your consideration a board resolution that would approve the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program. Now, we last presented the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program at the February 2006 board hearing. The board directed at that time the Monterey Regional Group to work with the Natural Resources Defense Council, or NRDC, to evaluate the best management practices that were contained in the NRDC's practical plan. Since the February hearing, the Monterey Group and NRDC have met on several occasions to work towards revising the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program. The Monterey Regional Group submitted a revised version of the Stormwater Management Program on June 1st. They also submitted a series of revisions, or a group of revisions, on July 26th, revisions to that June 1st Stormwater Management Program. We also received a comment letter from the NRDC on July 26th supporting approval of the Monterey Regional Swamp with the July 26th revisions included. We also received a comment letter from the Pebble Beach Company expressing concerns that the Monterey Regional Swamp is too restrictive and would have a detrimental effect on the communities that are implementing or will implement the program. First, I'd like to just have a brief overview, go over some of the major changes from the previous version that was brought before you in February. One of the major changes is that all the communities in the Monterey Regional Group are committing to implementing the Attachment 4 design standards. And just as a brief reminder, Attachment 4 has two parts, one of which is the receiving water limits, and the other part are design standards that require development and redevelopment projects minimize their impact on water quality. And I also wanted to go over the communities that will be implementing all of Attachment 4, the receiving water and the design standards, and those that will just be implementing the Attachment 4 design standards. Sand City, Prunedale, and Castroville are required by the permit due to their growth to implement all of Attachment 4. Pacific Grove and the parts of the city of Monterey and parts of the Carmel Valley area that drain to areas of special biological significance, the Water Board staff are recommending that those communities implement all of Attachment 4, the receiving water limits and the design standards. And then the remaining communities, again, in the Stormwater Management Program, they have proposed to implement the design standards of Attachment 4. Uh, Now, back to some of the revisions from the previous version of the stormwater management program. The communities will be inspecting 20% of the businesses per year now. In the previous version, it was 5%. The 20% per year will that mean that all the businesses that have a potential to pollute stormwater will be inspected within the permit term, over the five-year permit term. The group will also conduct source tracking using First Flush and Urban Watch data to identify, track, and eliminate probable sources of pollutants. The source tracking was included in the July 26 revisions, and the revisions are a part of the resolution. They're the actually Appendix A to the resolution, and the revisions, the pollutant source tracking is contained on page 3 of those revisions.
Are you able to put that up, Ryan, on the screen? Do you have a slide for that?
Actually, I don't have a slide, but we could put it on the Elmo.
Elmo?
Thanks.
So again, they're going to be using the First Flush and Urban Watch data to conduct source tracking using the two highest priority pollutants in a given year, and then report on the findings of tracking where the trying to find out where the sources of the pollutants are and eliminating them, reporting on those on an annual basis. They are also committing to additional water quality monitoring, which is on the revision sheet. In which they will be expanding their Urban Watch and First Flush programs to include outfalls with a pipe diameter of 18 inches or greater, and that are also safe for their volunteers to conduct monitoring. They'll do 25% of those per year. And that will be defined at the first annual reporting time. They didn't have time to do it before right now, because it's for the county, for the most part, it's a larger undertaking to identify those that are 18 inches or larger, but then also identify the ones that will be safe for the volunteers to conduct their sampling.
So they don't have an inventory list yet?
Correct. Okay. It's not included.
And we are going to have that information by the end of the first year?
Right. They're going to start at year two, start the actual monitoring.
Okay.
So they'll have to have a list at the end of year one.
Okay.
So that we can have a defined number of sampling areas.
Okay. And they will be submitting that list as part of their first annual report?
Correct.
Okay. Dr. Bowker?
I'm assuming the list contains all discharges greater than 18 inches diameter. And those that are included and excluded because of safety reasons?
Right. We're going to have to work with them to identify the ones that are safe and that aren't safe.
Right. There'll be a list of all.
Right. We're going to require a list of all those.
And then the ones you can sample and can't sample.
Right. And initially, the county is going to focus on the discharges that go to 303D listed water bodies.
Question?
Okay. Dr. Press.
So regarding the first flush and monitoring, I assume that from reading the plan, that first flush really essentially gives you the baseline data that you're going to have, if any, right?
Right. Well, for the new outfalls, I mean, they've been conducting first flush on outfalls to the ocean for several years.
And that's right. Although, and I'll come back to that in a second. So that's the baseline. That there won't be other times I mean, because first flush is once.
Right.
So is that an extensive enough coverage in both in time and space to give you a confident baseline of what your conditions are?
Well, they're actually going to be doing it four times per year. The Urban Watch program isn't just the first flush.
Okay.
So they'll be doing it throughout the season to look at seasonality. The first flush will provide a baseline, yeah, for the first flush constituents of concern.
Okay. All right. That wasn't quite clear. But also, page 411 of the plan relies on or references the first flush data from 2002. I'm assuming that everybody has available 2003, 4, 5, 6. Well, we'll have 6 soon.
Right.
Right.
I believe they've got published, and someone from the Monterey Group can correct me, 2003 and 2004 at least. I'm not sure how long it takes them to get the 2005 report.
Okay.
Analyzed and published.
All right, but it's definitely going to be part of the because the point at which a baseline is determined, you know, that depends on the quality of the data, the extent of the data, all that sort of
right.
thing. So I just wanted to be sure that they actually had all that.
And that information is actually available on a website. I believe it's the National Marine Sanctuary website. They have the reports for Urban Watch and First Flush.
Okay, good. Thank you.
We're going to be going to page 5. The Monterey Group will also implement a pollution reduction program to identify and eliminate sources of pollutants that are affecting sea otters. And that's on page 5 of the revisions. So they'll be using existing data to try and identify sources of bacteria and T. gondii that affect sea otters and try to identify those sources and eliminate them and implement BMPs to better control those sources. And that will be done in the first 2 years of the program. They've also included some additional or more improved enforcement protocols. They were responding to complaint calls within 24 hours. And they also include a reporting and response form that requires documentation of action and closure, including referral information. Again, these are just a few of the revisions that are included not only in the June 1st Stormwater Management Program, but also the revision sheet from July 26th that have greatly improved the program and will make it a stronger program. One issue that was raised at the February hearing related to budget and budget issues with the various communities. And so in the next few slides, I'm going to be going over the information that we requested and received from the cities and the county in terms of their annual budget, estimated annual budget, and also their breakdown of costs between them, each of the 6 minimum control measures. First of all, the Monterey Regional Group cities are on the left-hand side of the graph here. And this is estimated, for that group, it's an estimated annual cost per household for implementing the stormwater management program for the first year. We did not receive information from the cities of Delray Oaks and Marina. And also, I have to say that Sand City isn't on this graph, basically because their cost per household was so high, it was at $655 per household, it would have blown the scale of this chart, kind of made it less meaningful. So I kept them off there, but they did submit the information. And again, this is estimated costs for the communities in the Monterey Regional Group. On the right-hand side of the graph are cities that were included in the January 2005 State Board cost analysis survey and their Phase 1 communities. I just want to illustrate that the Monterey Regional Group is within the range and many times exceed that of what the Phase 1 communities are spending on a per household basis or will be spending. The data from the Phase 1 communities is from 2002-2003 fiscal year.
How was the commercial lots or the businesses calculated in this? You got per household, but there's a lot of commercial buildings. Was that figured into this?
No, it was basically the number of households in the community, and they took the annual budget, total annual budget, and took it that way. I don't believe we included commercial.
Well, the reason Sand City is so high is because they have very few residents, but they have
right.
a lot of retail and industrial.
That's true. And we also have the total budget numbers from the communities, but we wanted to normalize it, try and get an idea.
Why wasn't commercial property equated into this? Because it looks like, you know, residents would be bearing all the costs, and that's not exactly true.
Wasn't part of the reason because we have the state board cost survey, and in order to have an apples and apples comparison,
right.
we need to have a per household.
Yeah, it was the state board survey broke the cost down on a per household basis, so we wanted to be able to compare it to the phase one communities. Yeah,
but I think Mr. Jeffries is correct. For the record, it could be misleading to think that somebody could get the impression that each household is paying either $655 or $130, and of course the cost to each household as a tax-paying household depends a lot on how the costs are spread among other entities.
Right.
You can see a little bit of the economy of scale here because, if I remember right, Seaside actually has the highest population of any of the cities, higher than Monterey and higher than Pacific Grove.
Right, I believe they are the highest population.
So you see a lower dollar per household
spread out
cost. And then was it Sand City you said was so high?
Yeah, they're the smallest.
They're the smallest
right.
in terms of households.
And that also is similar to the phase one communities. The larger the community, the smaller the per household costs ended up being. It's the Fresno-Clovis area was the largest of those, one of the larger in Sacramento of the phase one communities. We also got budget information in terms of the breakdown percentage that we'll be spending on each minimum control measure. And I have each of the cities that we received information, and I also have a slide at the end that I took the average for all the communities, and I also took the average from the phase one communities in terms of where their costs were spent. So this is Sand City. It's pretty evenly distributed throughout the minimum control measures. City of Monterey is more heavily towards the municipal operations, which is consistent actually with the phase one communities. They have a lot of the budget is actually spent on municipal operations, which includes street sweeping and collection system maintenance costs. This is the County of Monterey, Seaside, Pacific Grove, and again, this is the average. Most of the costs, or the biggest chunk, is municipal operations, followed by the illicit discharge program. And this is the breakdown for the phase one communities. And they have an additional, the cost survey that was done by State Board, they took nine categories of costs. So they have overall management, industrial, commercial, watershed management, and monitoring aren't six of the six minimum control measures. But again, as you can see, the municipal operations is the major major area where the cost budget is spent. As I mentioned earlier, we did receive comment letter from the Pebble Beach Company expressing concerns that the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program was too stringent in terms of including Attachment 4 design standards and also some grading requirements. Pebble Beach Company was actually at one time part of the Monterey Regional Group as a participating entity, but because they are a private company, they are not required to have municipal general permit coverage. One of the concerns for the Pebble Beach Company relates to the Attachment 4.
Before you go into a discussion, my name is Mark Stiller for Pebble Beach Company. I know it's a bit out of order, but we've been discussing with NRDC our letter, and we're going to withdraw our comment letter from the record today. So, and I'd like to state that before you get into an extended discussion on this. At this point, we're withdrawing the letter, and I understand NRDC is going to withdraw their letter, commenting on our letter, because we've reached an understanding on this issue. I know it's completely out of order, but I did want to make that. We didn't have a chance to mention that before the hearing.
It's in the record at this point, and we've read it, but Lori, do you want to...
Yeah, I think that we can just keep both of those letters in the record, and then it's noted that Pebble Beach withdraws the objections. Mm-hmm. But at this point, I think it's kind of hard to take it out of the record.
That's fine. It's just we did tell the NRDC that we would do that, so I wanted to make sure that was noted up front.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I like that sort of out of order.
So shall I continue, or should I skip past these slides?
You can go by this
skip
part,
it, yeah.
Although
okay.
I do have some questions about Pebble Beach Company. We can get to that at the end.
Okay. I just want to put up a quote from the Natural Resource Defense Council July 26 comment letter showing that they do support the adoption of the Monterey Regional Swamp with the July 26 change sheet included. It also includes some other of the environmental groups supporting adoption of the or approval of the stormwater management program.
So is staff in concurrence with NRDC's conditional changes to the
yes.
Okay. And are the regulated communities also in agreement with those proposed conditional changes?
Yes. Okay. They were submitted by
right.
the group.
Okay.
And so with that, I recommend that the board adopt the resolution, which approves the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program with the required revision, July 26 revisions, and also include a late revision of adding the county area of Carmel Valley to the resolution requiring that they implement the general permit attachment 4 requirements.
Okay. So what is with the Pebble Beach Company? What they were in at one point, they got out early, they're kind of floating around the periphery?
Right.
Are they
they're
to be covered under a Phase 2 permit? Or
no, they're because they're a private company, they're not required to obtain coverage. They still participate, I believe, in some way with the Monterey Regional Group, but not as a participating entity that has to comply with the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program.
Well, both Pebble Beach Company and the city of Carmel by the Sea were part initially. They both opted out. However, they're still considered coordinating entities. And similar with the school districts, there are, I think, three school districts that are in the plan that are coordinating entities, and that the Monterey Regional Group has letters of understanding with in terms of their roles. And I think this was a later addition that similar letters of understanding regarding coordination on stormwater activities have also been executed with the Pebble Beach Company and the City of Carmel by the Sea. That's on page 3-3 of the swamp. And that those letters of understanding focus on those coordinating entities working with Monterey Regional on the minimum control measures 1 and 2, which are the public education as well as the public participation and involvement minimum control measures. So my understanding is that their coordination is limited to that public aspect of it.
Don't they? Doesn't the city at least have to enroll in a permit directly?
Right.
Yes.
And when is that happening?
They requested an exception based on the small size of the city, and staff didn't agree that that exception was appropriate. So staff is going to pursue getting them enrolled in a permit.
Against their will?
Hopefully not, but maybe.
Well, their first step was they requested this exception.
Okay.
So,
but that's been a while ago, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes.
So where are we in terms of getting them up to speed?
We're working on getting a letter out to them requiring that they submit an NOI and a stormwater management program.
Okay.
All right. It's on the list.
Yes.
On the list of
the
things.
The top of the list.
Things
yes.
to do. Dr. Press, did you have a
I have questions, but if you want to finish your thought here.
No other thoughts at this point.
All right. Okay, I have a few details. On page E30 of the plan on monitoring activities, the plan states that the group will hire a consultant to focus on the water quality data that is currently in existence and prepare a report within 6 months that does these various different things. I assume that this is going to be included, the results of this consultant report will be included in the 1 year report. Is that right? Because there was the only timeline that is given here is when a consultant will be hired, not when the report would be generated, which is essentially a baseline plus an idea of what data exists, what the quality of the data are, recommendations, and so on.
Actually, that in the revisions that were submitted on July 26th, this page is being removed. And in place of that is what they're doing, the expanded First Flush and Urban Watch monitoring.
This was my, I'm reading from the revisions that are the hard copy I was sent by you.
Right, but in the revisions that were included, the July 26th revisions, one of those is to remove that page.
So this is not going to happen?
Correct. What they're doing is now they're expanding their, I believe they were going to do this, and then they decided to move towards expanding the Urban Watch First Flush to the effluent pipes that are 18 inches or larger.
All right.
And do it 25% per year.
Okay, that wasn't very clear. There's some. It's hard to track which version we're working on, because if that's the case, is this whole plan that you sent me not the latest version?
Well, there
my understanding was that I was getting the very latest revision with all the proposed changes in it.
Well, no, that's what you have is the June 1st version, and then we also have an attached set of revisions. So, no, the June 1st does not contain all of the revisions that are included in the July 26th,
right,
which is why we have to attach it to the resolution to include those changes.
Okay. A question on your household hazardous waste. Have any of the communities proposed curbside pickup other than recycling or oil recycling? But for other constituents. Some communities around the country for years have conducted these household hazardous waste amnesty days, you know, where they go around and they say, okay, we're going to pick up paint and solvents and batteries and so on curbside, as opposed to having it all at a drop-off. I know in Santa Cruz, the drop-off is pretty far, pretty hard to get to. So people don't use it as much as they might.
I don't know if that's one of the things they're proposing.
Well, it's not in the. I mean, maybe it is, because maybe it's in the revisions, but it doesn't look like it. So is that something to ask the group?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Anything else, Dr. Press? Okay. All right. Ms. Oken?
I do have one proposed change to the resolution that was suggested by NRDC in the August 31st letter, which is to clarify finding 15 to add language. That talks about which entities are required by the terms of the permit to implement design standards, but under the swamp, all of the entities are agreeing to implement them as BMPs. So just to add the sentence, and this is a slight revision of what NRDC submitted. Design standards as described in Section B of Attachment 4 to the general permit shall apply to all permittees as provided in the MR swamp. That's it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. You know, Ryan, one thing that maybe is going to happen, but I just wanted to express it to you, that when we get the annual reports, I'm hoping that the Monterey Group will be giving us sufficient information and detail such that we can track, you know, performance, and that we just don't have some conclusions submitted to us. So, for instance, and I'm looking at in the proposed revision for the outfalls that are over 18 inches in diameter, it says a minimum of 25% of all outfalls within the swamp area will be monitored four times a year in each of the indicated years. I'm hoping that we will have a table that identifies these outfalls.
That's the idea, okay. Because we need to know exactly ahead of time what they're going to be doing in the following,
okay.
The following 4 years of the program. And all municipal permittees have to submit detailed information of the effectiveness and whether they're meeting their measurable goals so that we can evaluate whether they're in compliance with our permit.
Okay. Okay. All right. Why don't we go to our cards?
Okay. They're buried here.
Okay. We'll start with Mayor Albert, City of Monterey, and then Chris Coburn and Elizabeth
Kraft.
Kraft. Those are the first three. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning. First, welcome to Monterey, and Chairman Young and the board, and we hope you enjoy your stay here beside all of this work. We've got some fine restaurants, and I hope that you enjoy all of them. I think what I'm saying is spend money.
Well, someone's got to help pay for the...
Absolutely. I am Dan Albert, and I've been the mayor here for a long time. I have a statement that I would like to read to you. I would like to first express our sincere appreciation to you and your staff for all the time and effort that has been gone into this formation of the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program. This has truly been a collaborative effort on the part not only of the members of the agency, but also dedicated staff from environmental organizations and your staff. Monterey believes in leading by example. These examples are not just words, but we back them with deeds. Monterey has not needed a permit to do what we are now promising to do in our stormwater program. It is our past history of high regard for the environment, backed by the tangible actions that enable the city to provide the best assurance to your agency as well as the public that Monterey will continue to be a leader in protecting the environment. Our principal concerns with the proposed resolution before you today relates to the several statements regarding the regulatory approach associated with the ASBSs. The regional board is aware that the state board has not resolved the regulatory approach to the ASBS's discharges. The previous staff report noted that the staff and management are still working on the issue and that it is not known what conditions the state board will require for the MS4 discharging into the ASBS. The current staff report supporting MR Swamp is silent on the possible ASBS regulations. The resolution proposes in paragraph 2A that the enhanced BMPS monitoring and reporting set forth in attachment 4 be applied to the City of Monterey based on the discharge to the ASBS. This requirement is made in spite of the fact that the City does not meet the criteria for the application of attachment 4. This is for populations 50,000 or rapid growth and is not a direct discharge into the ASBS. To the extent that the various findings in the proposed resolution, specifically findings 18 through 22, are intended to establish prohibition on discharges to the ASBS, they would repeat the factual and legal flaws outlined in our previous letter to you. To avoid the diversion of our resources into an unnecessary conflict, the City of Monterey respectfully objects to finding 18 through 22 and requests that the resolution paragraph 2A be revise to delete the language at the end of the beginning with or based on. I'm very familiar with this. I have something else to add to this, but I'm familiar with the, particularly in this chambers, I'm very familiar with the person up here saying you've heard enough, but I would like to continue.
Go ahead, you can.
Thank you. In conclusion, the resolution is not legally defensible. The City of Monterey requests that the following finding be added. The State Water Resource Control Board is currently in the process of reviewing the regulatory approach concerning ASBS, and recognition of the MR swamp will not include further references to the regulation of stormwater discharges to the ASBS until the State Water Resources Control Board finalizes their rulemaking on ASBS. If necessary, we would also support adding the following to the resolution. The participating entities that have stormwater discharges into the ASBS will work with SWRCB to determine how to appropriately address runoff to the ASBS, including whether or not these discharges should be subject to an exception to the waste discharge prohibition in Ocean Plan. It is expected that requirements issued by these agencies will be incorporated into the stormwater management program. Thank you for these considerations of this matter. There's a very learned staff behind me. If you have any questions, if you will please direct them to them. But anyway, as you can see, we are concerned about the decision that you're about to make, and we would appreciate your help and your cooperation in this. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ms. Hogan, any comments? I know there's a concern about the references, you know, to the ASBS and what significance that has at this point with the State Water Board not having really completed its process.
I don't recommend making the requested changes to the resolution. There is an ASBS prohibition in both the Basin Plan and the Ocean Plan, and that's incorporated into the permit, so it's a term of the permit. The cities and the permittees will comply with the exception based on whatever the State Board decides to do, but so far there is not an exception, and so these discharges are prohibited. So in order to protect the ASBS in the interim, I recommend that these discharges do comply with the receiving water limits that are in Attachment 4 of the permit, and that's what we're talking about. Those limits just say that these discharges to the ASBS can't cause or contribute to a water quality objective violation, and if they do, the dischargers have to undertake an iterative process of more and more stringent BMPs to correct the problem. They're not going to get an exception to the Ocean Plan prohibition without doing that anyway, because they don't qualify for an exception under the Ocean Plan or under applicable law if they're contributing to water quality objective violations. So this isn't something that they're not eventually going to be doing anyway. I wouldn't be opposed to including language saying that they must implement the receiving water standards until they get their exception, at which point they'll revise the swamp and comply with whatever requirements the State Board imposes in the exception. But I don't recommend changing the findings, and I don't recommend removing that limitation until they get their exception.
Mm-hmm. So I guess once this permit is issued, then they could be in violation of it if they are discharging pollutants into an ASBS.
Right.
Causing violations.
Causing a violation. Mm-hmm. And would we take any action pending the State Board's review of this?
Well, that's up to the board's discretion.
Well, but staff does enforcement, and the board just, you know, waits for that to happen.
Well, it's possible, but they're subject to enforcement actions now because the prohibition in the Ocean Plan is self-affecting, so okay. they're violating that now.
Okay.
And you can't take that prohibition out of the permit because it's right. a State Board general permit, so... Once they're enrolled in the permit, that's going to be a technical violation.
I guess another way of putting it is if we know that due to their runoff, they're causing a problem and it's documented, then we would certainly expect them to do something about it. And as Ms. Oaken was pointing out, that's not going to change, chances are. That's not going to change with the State Board exception. That would be, I would assume that would be part and parcel of an exception, as they still have to provide that receiving water protection.
Okay. All right. Next speaker. Chris Coburn, Elizabeth Kraft, and then John Fisher.
Chairman Young, members of the board, thank you for allowing me some time to speak today. I just want to be brief and mention that on behalf of the Monterey, Chris Coburn, on behalf of the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary, I want to again reiterate our support of adoption of the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Program. I was pleased to see the discussions that took place between the permit group and the environmental community. I believe that the revisions that were made to the program are beneficial to the program. I think they are improvements. Specifically, I would like to comment on the Urban Watch and First Flush programs. I know that there was some discussion regarding those this morning. And just to clarify, the Urban Watch and First Flush programs have been around for about 9 years. Urban Watch about 9 years, and First Flush about 6 years. And basically the concept is that Urban Watch monitors the low flow, dry weather flows that are coming off from the cities during the summer months, and then the First Flush captures obviously the first flush of the storm season, and they monitor the same outfalls between First Flush and the Urban Watch programs. And I just want to mention that the cities have been strong supporters. They fund about half or more of each of those programs, along with contributions from the sanctuary. And so while I am happy to see very specific language in the program regarding those programs, they are changing a little bit by what's described with monitoring 25% of the outfalls. That's not exactly how the programs work now, so we will need to work out some of those details. But I am happy to see that those are called out for further implementation. So again, I'll be brief. Just want to issue support for the program, and if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them.
Any questions? Okay. Thank you for your comments. Okay. Ms. Kraft? And then John Fisher?
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have two hats today, so I'll make one statement with one hat and then change hats and make the other statement, if that's okay.
You have 3 minutes to
okay.
make your statement.
My name is Elizabeth Kraft, and I am speaking on behalf of the Monterey Regional Stormwater Management Plan. I am the Stormwater Program Manager for the County of Monterey and also the Chair of the Monterey Regional Stormwater Permits Group. The Monterey Regional Stormwater Group is an alliance of staff representatives from 7 local government agencies, including the cities of Delray Oaks, Marina, Monterey, Pacific Grove, Sand City, Seaside, and the County of Monterey. Since the board's familiar with the history of our Mr. Swimp, I will fast forward to 2002, and from 2002 to the February 9th, 06 hearing before the board. During that hearing, there were several hours of testimony and the discussion around the issues of the adequacy of the Mr. Swimp. At the end of the day, the board continued the matter and asked that the regional board staff organize workshops to work out the differences surrounding the Mr. Swimp. The first workshop was held in Monterey on March 8th and 9th with regional board staff, the NRDC, and the participating entities attending. There was subsequent conference calls that the regional board staff participated in, and there were many more subsequent meetings and conference calls held with the entities and the NRDC participating without regional board staff. When the board recommended that these workshops be held, the expectation was that there would not be full agreement between the parties, but there would be further clarity about the areas of disagreement and the reasons for the disagreement. However, due to the huge effort by the staffs of the communities and the NRDC, in time, miles traveled, headaches, ground down teeth, and sheer stamina, a document was developed that all the parties agreed to. On July 26th, the communities of Delray Oaks, Marina, Monterey, Pacific Grove, Sand City, Seaside, and the County of Monterey submitted a final revisions to the June 1st, 2006 version of Mr. Swimp. With these final revisions, the NRDC submitted a letter on behalf of the NRDC, the Otter Project, Friends of the Sea Otter, Defendants of the Wildlife, and the San Luis Obispo Coastkeeper supporting adoption of Mr. Swimp as it's written. Major additions since February 2006, we added education and outreach components for grades K-6 through 9. We added monitoring and source tracking components. added additional priority sectors of businesses, added design standards for development activities, and agreed to a placeholder in the Mr. Swimp for the dischargers to the ASBS until the State Board finalizes its approach. Therefore, the Monterey Regional Permit Group strongly encourages the Board to respect the work and dollars expended at your recommendation and approve the stormwater management plan presented to you today. We object to the findings 18 through 22 of the resolution as is currently written. We prefer the language that's in the Mr. Swimp that says the participating entities have stormwater discharges into the ASBS. We'll work with the State Water Resources Control Board and the Regional Board staff to determine how to appropriately address the ASBS, including whether or not these discharges should be subject to an exemption to the ASBS discharge prohibition in a 2001 ocean plan. If an exception is granted, it is expected that there will be requirements issued with the exception, which participating entities will incorporate into their stormwater management programs. If an exception is not granted, those participating entities will pursue alternative means to address their ASBS runoff. We request that the last section of item 2A on page 5 of the resolution be struck, beginning with the comment which states, or based on discharge to an ASBS. The participating entities have voluntarily agreed to implement design standards identical to those in Attachment 4 throughout the region and feel that this action is what will protect water quality. Adding Part A of Attachment 4, the receiving water requirements, to areas where it's not already required is a substantial addition to the Mr. Swimp for these entities, especially given the likelihood of additional measures being required for the State Board. This document represents over 6 years of collaboration among state, local, and federal entities, environmental groups, and the public. Our group has crafted a stormwater management plan that far exceeds the requirements of a Phase 2 general permit and will protect water quality in the Monterey Bay region. We therefore ask that you approve it as been submitted to you and that you modify the language in the approving resolution and staff recommendations as requested above. Thank you for your consideration of our position.
Thank you. Any questions? Mr. Briggs.
I don't know if you're the best person to ask or to answer either Dr. Press's question about the status of hazardous waste, residential hazardous waste.
I don't think we have anything to do curbside pickups for anything other than used oil.
Is that something that you've discussed?
We have not discussed specifically curbside other than used oil, no, that I remember.
At the landfill at Marina, do they have periodic events?
They do have periodic events, and there are, I think they have a place that's open every day. I don't think you have to wait until a certain event comes along. I think it's open on a pretty much, you know, 6-day-a-week type schedule.
So it sounds like as far as the communities here, you're assuming that that's sufficient mm-hmm. for that issue?
Right.
Okay, thanks. Okay.
And my second statement, I'm here as the stormwater program manager for the County of Monterey. The County of Monterey protests the inclusion of the Carmel Valley area as a discharger to the ASBS and a resultant application of Attachment 4 Part A. The county has not been notified by the State Board that it has any areas that discharge to an ASBS, and this appears to be an arbitrary and last-minute decision by Regional Board staff that has not been properly noticed. The county has had neither the time to consider the implications of such an inclusion nor the time to prepare an adequate response. Thank you.
Any comment about that?
When did this issue first come up?
Actually, it came up this week when we started looking at the maps. The statement that all discharges that discharge stormwater to ASBSs has been in the resolution, at least at the February hearing and this hearing, but the specifically including the areas, we haven't included Carmel Valley until this week. It was an oversight on staff's part. We looked at the maps this week and noticed that the Carmel Valley urbanized area, for the county, actually goes all the way up to the coastline where the Carmel ASBS is. And so what we're saying is the discharges from Carmel Valley that enter through the MS4, the ASBS must comply with the attachment for receiving water limits.
Okay, and the language, the general language saying that all dischargers into the ASBS have to comply with the receiving water limits has always been in the resolution. It just wasn't specifically called out for this area. And the fact that the state board hasn't notified them isn't determinative. There are many discharges that haven't been notified yet.
Okay, thank you. John Fisher, and then Anjali Jaswal, Tom Reeves, Fred Muir, and Mark Stillwell.
I'm John Fisher from Pacific Grove. I want to thank you all for doing this here rather than having us go to down to your area or somewhere else, because this is where the people have been working for a long time. So I'm saying thank you for being here as you approve or review and hopefully approve the SWMP or swamp, as some of us called it earlier on. I'm speaking as one who has attended most of the meetings from the very beginning of the regional group that you've heard just reported on, and that you have all the best management practices and such from. My concern in the beginning was the watersheds and the management thereof by the cities that were in the same, that had the same watershed. Because it seemed in the beginning that there was going to be maybe the city of Monterey doing something on one timeline to a certain level, and the city of Pacific Grove doing something on it, that same thing on a different timeline with maybe a different level. And hopefully, from what I've seen, this is now all worked out. Everybody's working together to make sure ordinances are in place and all of those things. Because otherwise, any legal action could leave somebody hanging out to dry, in my view, if it's found that one is not quite doing the same level as the other in that same watershed. And watersheds have always been a big issue for me on this whole thing. So this whole question of Carmel Valley just adds another watershed that had not been looked at. This other thing that I want to speak to is, after the skip start on this, I realized that most of the concerns I have, and I do as past president of Friends of the Sea Otters, on the issues that have been raised by Friends of the Sea Otter, NRDC, and all the other groups. So that's taken care of. As far as I'm concerned, they took care of it, and you all have asked for a response. The last thing is ASBS. As far as I can find out, there is no real published data on what lives in or the mix of pollutants and toxics in the tidal zone areas. So no one knows really yet, as far as publicly, because I read that at the workshop that the state board did here. And I say, nobody knows. So on the surface, there appears to be an assumption of guilt, but there's no scientific evidence to support anything yet known publicly that says there is a problem when the discharge goes into the ASBS into the tidal zone area and gets mixed by tidal action. Nobody knows, so far as the public knows anyway, which means the cities as well as everyone else. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, Ms. Jaswal.
Good morning, Chair Young and members of the board. I'm Anjali Jaswal, staff attorney with NRDC. I'm here on behalf of NRDC and our thousands of members here in Monterey County. First, on behalf of NRDC and David Beckman, the director of our Coastal Water Quality Project, as well as myself, I would like to thank the Monterey Group. I want to recognize the Monterey Group, this region, and the permittees for their commitment to protecting water quality, as well as hosting many meetings, attending many conference calls with us so that we could reach agreement on the proposal that's before the board today. Specifically, I just wanted to take a moment because there's been a lot of hard work here and just call out some names and recognize some names. Les Turnbaugh with the City of Monterey, as well as Tom Reeves and Rick Riddle with the City of Monterey, as well as Bill Reichmuth, Fred Muir, Deborah Mall, and the mayor. I'd also like to thank, from Pacific Grove, Celia Perez-Martinez, Jim Coangelo, and Steve Leiker. With Sand City, Stan Kulau. I think I messed up your name, Stan. I'm sorry. Bob Jakes, Elizabeth Kraft from the county, and Mara Steinstecker from the educational consultant. If I forgot anybody, I'm sorry, but I really wanted to recognize their commitment to meeting with us and reaching agreement. It wasn't always easy, but we were able to work something out, which was great. So as we've said in our letters, we support the board's staff's recommendation for approval and adoption of the program. As you know, the program is significantly improved. Staff explained it. Ms. Kraft from the county has explained it. There's meaningful monitoring, inspections of all commercial and industrial facilities. It addresses runoff from all construction sites, and design standards applies to the entire region. That's just a sample of how it's significantly improved. We've also asked for clarification on item 15 of the resolution. We spoke to the group about that, and there isn't an objection in terms of the clarification that we've requested. As far as 2A, we also spoke to the group about that portion, and we've tried to work it out, but given the time, we haven't been able to really work it out with the group. However, I'd like to reiterate or emphasize what Ms. Oaken had said in terms of the basin plan and the ocean plan, and those are the requirements. The discharge prohibition are the requirements under both the ocean plan and the basin plan, and therefore are appropriate in the resolution. One other issue that was raised that I'd just like to quickly address is Carmel and the Pebble Beach Company. They are, that's for another day, but they are appropriately phase two entities and should be regulated. So on behalf of NRDC and other environmental groups who are here, but in the interest of time are not testifying, NRDC, the Otter Project, Friends of the Sea Otter, San Luis Obispo Keeper, the Ocean Conservancy, we urge the board to approve the plan, including the changes to the resolution in 15A to protect the magnificent resources here in Monterey Bay.
Okay. I have a question for you, and this has to go with what's going to be submitted, you know, with the annual report. Do you have a sense that these entities are going to be providing sufficient paper trails of their inspections and follow-up and enforcement that we're going to be able to look at this, or the public will be able to look at it in the annual report and to really know what has transpired over that year's period?
Yes, I believe so. The entities have made an effort and have established a program. You know, it's significantly improved than what was there before in terms of commitments, what they'll do, what's required, and coming up, stepping up to the plate and making those commitments themselves. And, of course, the board, as a regulating entity, has a discretion. If the board requests more information or through the public process more information is required, the board can do that. I think that there's enough rigor right now in the document, but if there's a specific item that the board would like more clarification on, the board has the authority to request that.
Right. Okay. Thank you very much. Okay. Mr. Reeves? Tom?
I don't have a prepared statement, but if you have questions about MEPs or CMPs in the Mr. Smith, I'd be happy to ask them.
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Muir? And then last speaker is Mark Stillwell.
Mr. Chairman, board members, I'd like to also echo the thank you for your being here rather than somewhere else to hear this particular event. I'd also like to echo the NRDC representative's comments. You were the catalyst that created a whole line of meetings. I thought Anjali was a member of my staff there for a while. We were so close. If not a member of the staff, she's one of my best friends now. I think it's fair to say that we have about 99.9% agreement. And to include that the ASBS issue is an issue that is full of fog, misinformation, misunderstanding, and a lack of clarity. The board has been wrestling with it for years, the state board. The state board has had a number of hearings here, a number of sensing sessions here. They're still trying to figure out what they're going to do with ASBS. And that's really the source of our greatest concern, is being held accountable for something that is yet to be defined. As John said a moment ago, there's still a heck of a lot of unknown in terms of how do you measure true or fact that there are receiving water problems here, because the standards really have not been articulated in a way that can be measured. They're nice sounding words, but it has not been done. And that is the reason for our exception, our concern about primarily 2A. We think that we have agreement. We were disappointed to see that still in the resolution, and that we agreed within RDC that we would let this be taken care of by the state, and we would do whatever the state ultimately decided should be done. They're in a position, they can't agree, obviously, because of their constituency, to agree with what we want regarding 2A. But at the same time, we can't agree with 2A because we don't know what we're agreeing to when push comes to shove until the state board does their job. So that would be the only point where we would in any way be tempted to appeal, because we just have great concern. One last comment I should make. You've mentioned Carmel. I understand Carmel will be underway. I should mention the Pebble Beach Company has been an incredible corporate citizen in terms of their participation and their contributions to solving this regional problem. And they're not a government, so it isn't technically an MS4. But at the same time, they have as much invested in the quality of the water around their property as the city of Monterey and the other cities and counties do. So, again, thank you for being here and for your ultimate judgment on this.
Thank you for your comments. Okay, last speaker is Mark Stillwell.
Thank you, Chairman Young, members of the board. My name is Mark Stillwell. I'm the executive vice president of Pebble Beach Company. Been with the company for about 15 years. My time's up, I see. No. That concludes my remarks. Just to reiterate, I know I stepped out of process before, but we did have some objections originally to some of the provisions of the SWMP, but we've since met with all the affected parties, and therefore the objections we had to the grading and some of the design standards, which will be imposed upon us by Monterey County because we're not a governmental entity, as noted. We're here today to support adoption of the SWMP as finally agreed upon by the Monterey permittees and the NRDC. We think it's a good document. We think as to the provisions that we can comply with as a private entity. I mean, we can't adopt ordinances, we can't do things that government entities do, but we can comply with good housekeeping standards and stormwater, best management practices, and we can contribute to the educational and participation efforts that are ongoing on the Monterey Peninsula, and we fully stand behind those commitments. But we also support the position of the Monterey permittees on the ASBS issues. We think that is a separate issue, and we're going to work with the state board, which is pursuing a process on ASBS stormwater regulation. A lot of issues for us as to when stormwater constitutes waste, because the prohibition is a discharge of waste prohibition, not just a discharge prohibition. What constitutes a discharge point? Groundwater seeps and natural streams that flow through and end up being the last 100 yards are culverted because they go under a golf course. Is that a discharge point or is that a natural stream, just like Pescadero Creek or the Carmel River? So there are a lot of the devil's always in the details on issues like that, and we'd like to work through that process with the state board. I've had a 6-7 hour meeting with state board staff to talk about issues just like this, and I think we're well along on a process that will culminate in effective process and procedures for ASBS discharge. One final note that rarely gets mentioned, but I always like to bring it up. We are the sole financial sponsor of the Carmel Area Wastewater District, Pebble Beach Community Services District, wastewater reclamation project, which since its opening in 1994 has recycled over 2.6 billion gallons of secondary treated sewage that had formerly been discharged into the Carmel Bay ASBS. That $65 million project We figure we will end up subsidizing the cost of that project probably in excess of $50 million over the lifetime of the project. And instead of that obvious waste discharge being discharged into the Carmel Bay, it's been recycled, piped back to the recreational open spaces in the Del Monte Forest, and reused in a manner that not only does it minimize the amount of discharge into Carmel Bay, it's also saving, you know, on the order of $2.6 billion potable water. So I just like to educate the board that we've not only with respect to stormwater discharge, but in other areas, Pebble Beach Company is a major participant in protecting our water quality here. And that concludes my remarks. Thank you very much.
Just a question for you out of my own curiosity.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting into some of the maybe the details and facts of your own operation. Do you guys have some kind of a pesticide, fertilizer, herbicide management program?
We do for all of our golf courses. Integrated pest management program is applied to all the golf courses. You know, we've worked with EPA over the years. We've been recognized by the EPA as you know, being one of the top golf course operators in that area. We've put a state-of-the-art irrigation weather system, so we know when to irrigate and when not to irrigate based on weather conditions.
Mm-hmm. And how about the use of fertilizer? Is there some system you employ so that you're not wasting fertilizer?
Well, there definitely is a system employed. Our superintendents are all, I mean, they're all college graduates with degrees in this area, and we follow all, you know, state and county requirements and EPA recommended requirements as to, it's also, you know, just like water on the peninsula, it's very expensive to apply fertilizers. They use it only when necessary. You know, we like to maintain our golf courses, you know, in as natural a state as possible.
Right. Yeah. Thank you for your comments.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. That's our last speaker. Does anyone else in the audience wish to address the board on this agenda item? Okay. Seeing none.
I forgot to say something about an answer to a question.
Come on up.
I apologize.
Okay.
There was a question regarding curbside recycling.
Yes.
Okay. Monterey City has a different hauler than the rest of the county. Our hauler does have periodic events for curbside recycling of oil. We have just instituted easy recycling of batteries, so you don't have to haul individual, you know, D-cells out to the landfill at Marina. But our hauler does have the periodic events at curbside to try to facilitate hazardous materials from the household.
I encourage that. I only raised it because since communities started curbside hazardous waste recycling in the 80s, you can tell the communities that do it from the communities that don't. It greatly reduces illegal dumping or thoughtless dumping of household hazardous waste, pesticides, paints, and things like that. So it's something to look for in the future.
Okay, that closes public comment.
I do have another question.
Go ahead.
It's actually kind of a follow-up to a question that you had, Mr. Chair, about the detail of the annual reports and the accessibility to the public. And so I'm not sure who is best to answer this, but it has to do with posting information as it's obtained, for example, annual reports on a website so it's available. And we're going to be hearing from the City of Salinas on the next item, and I know in looking at their website, it seemed to me that it was very out of date when I looked at it a few weeks ago. So I was looking through the public education aspects of the swamp to try to pinpoint it. I did see reference to posting notices and providing updates as far as public participation on the entity's websites, but can someone address maybe the intent as far as posting the annual report and that sort of thing?
Elizabeth Kraft, Chair of the Monterey Regional Stormwater Group. It's our intent that the entity itself will have a website, and we will post as much things, including the annual report there, and also on as many of the city pages as we can get it to. So it's our intent to post them as much as possible so they are available.
Okay. So. I'd encourage you to do so. That seems to me that's a pretty obvious way to make that information accessible, as you were asking about.
Right. And like I said, we do intend to have our own website for the group up and running this fall, so that would be the first spot. And then through the feeder, the participating cities, either links to it on the city's web pages or posted individually on the city's web pages.
Okay, thanks.
And would you be posting data from the first flush monitoring program?
We could do that, or we could link it to where it's posted on the Monterey Bay National Marine Sanctuary site.
That would be great.
Either way.
Yeah, because your site would be a natural one to go to to hopefully get all the information that supports your program.
Yeah, and I encourage you, when it's up and running, to go look at it and send me an email if you see something that we missed.
Well, send us an email reminding us.
I sure will.
we'll do that.
I'll be glad
send
to do
it to staff.
And Mr. Chairman, I don't know if staff has any follow-up responses to questions or clarifications or anything to add at this point.
I have one addition to your question about annual reports. We'll be posting those also. We're modifying our own web page to include links to the different annual reports that we receive for all of the MS4s in the Phase 2 program.
Good.
Which will be easier if they, in fact, have something to link to.
Okay.
And we, as far as our changes here, we had the recommended change to finding 15, right? Which was, as Ms. Okun, it's this sentence right here. Which would be an addition to 15, which says design standards as described in Section B of Attachment 4 to the general permit shall apply to all permittees as provided in the Mr. Swamp. And as you know, we've heard frequent objections to findings 18 through 22. Our counsel has advised that those are statements of fact, and I agree with that. For example, you look at 18, and it says that there's an ASBS and that they either have to cease discharges or obtain a state board exception. It goes on to state statements of fact. So I agree that it's appropriate to leave those in there. And then also there was an objection to the last phrase in therefore be it resolved 2A, the phrase about or based on discharge to an ASBS, Pacific Grove and the portions of City of Monterey that flow to an ASBS. And I don't think the issue is whether they'll do that. They say they volunteered to do that. I guess they just object to that being an ordered paragraph.
They've agreed to do the design standards, which is Part B of Attachment 4, but this also requires them to comply with the receiving water limits. And it doesn't require any specific actions at this point that would be included in the state board exception. So it doesn't prejudge or pre-require what the state board may do. It just says that they can't cause or contribute to water quality violations in the ASBS.
So we don't have any other recommended changes aside from 15. Is that correct?
And the Carmel Valley language in 2A?
Carmel Valley language.
Add Carmel Valley to the 2A.
Right. So that's it, Mr. Chair.
We're adding those two changes to the recommendation?
Correct.
For paragraphs 15 and 2A?
Right.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I'd move to adopt the, to approve it.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries unanimously. I would like to thank everybody who's participated in this process, and this is really kind of the first stage in the implement the development and the implementation of this particular permit. And, you know, I'm very hopeful that the permittees will, you know, fully implement the provisions in the permit, and we can really get on board with, you know, protecting water quality and setting a great example, you know, for the other permit holders in our region and the state. I am going to give staff some direction, and that is I do want this, when this first annual report is generated, I do want to have this brought back to the board as a status report.
Chock full of data.
Well, yeah. chock full of everything. I mean, very much what we have with our next agenda item is something I'm proposing now for the Monterey Group, and that is we're going to be reviewing what Salinas has done over their first year with their second permit. And I feel at this point we should be doing this with our new Phase 2 permit holders. So with Monterey, after their annual report is generated, we should go ahead and set this on our agenda. But I want the public to have, you know, the opportunity to review the annual report once it's generated, and then have a chance to comment on staff's report and review of the annual report. Chris, how does that sound? Any questions to that?
Not at all.
Yeah, kind of like what we're doing with Salinas.
Absolutely.
I mean, just to mimic it and to what we've also asked Santa Barbara County to do.
I think you mentioned that the coastal entities in general.
Yeah, we should be doing that. So, I mean, even with the annual report, I believe that the entity has to put that out for public comment before they actually finalize their annual report. Is that what happens?
Most of them are having, well, Monterey Regional actually has two workshops per year where they go over annual report.
Okay, but before the annual report is finalized?
I believe so. Okay. I believe they're looking for public input into the annual reporting process.
Because I want to track that. I'd like to see how the public inputs into the annual report, how the entity comments on that input, and then staff is going to get the annual report, and so we'll go through our own process of review, and then we'll have our own status report, and then we can check how things are progressing and being implemented. Okay. Any other? Yes.
If I could, just quickly, I wanted to publicly thank Ryan Lodge for all the work he's done behind the scenes and with the entities and with NRDC. It's been a long, frustrating endeavor for him, and he's worked really, really hard. Good. And I congratulate him on this.
Well, Ryan, you have done a great job, and I think that, you know, everyone involved in the process, I think, has kind of stepped in and worked very cooperatively. At least it appears that way right now. And so, you know, let's...
don't go out on a limb.
I don't want to go out on a limb. We'll find out, but I'm hopeful that we're going to get a good product in the end. But everyone really deserves a pat on the back, and especially you, and you're still alive. Okay. Any other comments from the board?
I'm going to take a 10-minute.
Okay. We will take a... we'll reconvene at 10:30 with agenda item 14.